opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan until 10:35 tonight. Charlie Borges is with me behind the glass. Still plenty to get into a little bit later on. We have a Borges hockey roundup in about 25 minutes or so, with a lot going on in the hockey world. Right now, we go out to the fan hotline again. We welcome in Jarrett Bailey, NFL writer, works with the Sporting News, USA Today, also does some work locally with Behind the Steel Curtain. Slippery Rock guy Jarrett joins us right now, and if you're watching on our fan video feed on our YouTube channel, you can obviously see Jarrett in the split box here. Jarrett, we'll start with the Steelers, then we'll get into a little bit more NFL at large stuff here. I posed an interesting question to Nick Faribault. I'm sure you're familiar with him and his work with PennLive.com, discussing the Steelers' best offensive player and why it might actually be Zach Frazier already, second year of his career.
I'm not surprised that Nick said it was Zach Frazier, knowing Nick as well as I do, knowing his love of interior offensive line play. But I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I understand why he would make that point. I mean, you look at the way Zach Frazier played last year as a rookie. I mean, you can already make the argument that he's a top 7 to 5 center in the NFL. Like, I don't think that's too far of a stretch, especially with Frank Ragnow retiring. That takes one out of the, out of the deck. So, He stepped in a position that the Steelers have had a position of need at since Marquise Pouncey retired, and immediately became potentially the next great center in franchise history and a franchise that has a lot of great ones. So I wouldn't push back too much on it. You know, I think I would probably just take the easy route and say it's probably DK Metcalf. But in terms of, like, if you want to go positional rankings, like, would Zach Frazier rank higher in center rankings than DK Metcalf would in receiver rankings? Probably. So, I wouldn't push back too much on saying that Zach Frazier is the current best Steelers offensive player.
What we can definitively say is that the quarterback is not the best player in the offense, nor has it been that way for quite some time in Pittsburgh. Where do you come down on the entire situation? Because we haven't really talked about that at all. Do you expect Aaron Rodgers to be here? And how does that change your view of this team, assuming he is?
Yeah, I mean, all signs point to him being here, right? Art Rooney seems pretty confident that he's going to eventually show up. When that will be, I've stopped trying to put any sort of timeline on it, because anytime that I think that, you know, you can kind of circle a date, it's like, okay, this could be it. You know, it goes by without anything happening. So I've tried to stop speculating on when it'll happen. I do think it will happen, again, just because all signs point to it happening. Art Rooney seems confident it's going to happen. And, you know, where else is he going to go? I think that the whole Minnesota thing was more or less agent work, trying to, you know, get a little bit more for him monetarily, maybe, or, you know, maybe just draw up a little bit more interest. But I think it will be in a Steelers uniform where we'll see Aaron Rodgers again. When that'll happen, who knows? You'd like to think it'll be ahead of mandatory minicamp. That way we can stop talking about it and have, you know, kind of a more clear picture of what the team will look like as a whole in 2025 rather than carry this thing out even further. But I do think he'll be there. And in terms of what it does for them, at minimum, I think it'll make them as good as they were last year. I think Rodgers right now, despite how bad the Jets were a year ago, I still think that he is at minimum as good as what Russell Wilson was last year. And despite, you know, how bad his team was, he still threw 28 touchdowns last year, which, you know, in a vacuum, it's the same amount that Josh Allen threw. And I know that's comparing apples to oranges and whatnot because Josh had 13, 14 rushing touchdowns. But especially down the stretch in the final 5-6 weeks of the season, you kind of saw that old Aaron Rodgers flash. And if they can get, I don't know, what, the 18th best quarterback in football, then, you know, they can be where they were last year, win 9-10 games, be a playoff team, and then it comes down to can they end the playoff drought. So I do think if he's there, they'll be right back in the mix of, you know, being in a similar spot that they've been in over the last 4 or 5 years. And then depending on the luck of the draw, maybe they'll win a playoff game and finally end this long drought.
How many teams, or I guess how many stadiums could they go into, assuming they're a road team, could they beat to end that playoff drought? Because I'm still not convinced, even if they win, let's say 10 or 11 with Aaron Rodgers at the absolute best, I'm still not convinced that the playoff drought comes to an end.
I'm not necessarily either. I think, let's start at the top. They're not going into Arrowhead and winning. They're not going into Buffalo and winning. I doubt that they would go into Baltimore or Cincinnati and win. So really it just comes down to, can you get the 5 seed and play whoever wins the AFC South? Because they can go into Houston and win, I think. That offense right now on paper, like, Stroud's awesome. But outside of that, man, the offensive line is a big question mark. Outside of Nico Collins, not really a receiver there that scares you right now. We'll see what happens with Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. And look, what if Jacksonville wins the AFC South? They can go to Duval and win. If Tennessee surprises a lot of people and pulls similar to what the Texans did a couple years ago, win the division with a rookie quarterback, they can go into Nashville and win. So it would be – they'd have to do themselves a lot of favors and win games, probably 11, I would say, to get that 5 seed. But if they can get the luck of playing the AFC South, I think that they could beat the AFC South team. But any of the powerhouses in the conference, Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, no. I don't think that they can go on the road and win.
Now, let's say that the Rodgers thing doesn't happen. He leaves them at the altar. How much does that ceiling for the team change if it would be Mason Rudolph all season?
Yeah, I mean, it goes down. It doesn't go down as drastically as everybody says it will. We do this thing every year, man, where the cycle repeats of, oh, man, it's finally going to be the year. The Steelers are going to win 6 games, and then they win 9 or 10, and we start the whole cycle over. I can't remember who it was, and I don't want to, like, call anybody out or anything like that. But somebody said, oh, they're going to go 4-13 if Mason Rudolph's a starter. I know Orlovsky said they'd start 0-6. A, they haven't started 0-6 since 1968. That's not happening. Whoever is under center, you or I could be quarterback, and they'll find a way to win at least one game. And they're not going to go 4-13. Like, Mason is a high-quality backup quarterback. I don't think he's, you know, a starting guy in the NFL. But he's shown in the past, you know, the last time he was in a Steelers uniform, they won their last 3 games. And, you know, for what it's worth, while they got down against Buffalo, they clawed their way back a little bit, and he played respectable in doing that. And the last time they needed him to be a long-term starter was 2019, and he's grown a lot since then, and they still ended up going 8-8 that year. So the whole notion that the Steelers are going to just fall off a cliff if Mason Rudolph's the starter, like, yeah, they're not going to be a Super Bowl team, but they're not going to be, you know, picking number one overall either. Like, I think it's just, it becomes insanity where we're just bashing our heads against the wall, expecting a different result with all these people saying, oh, actually, I think this is going to be the year that the Steelers will be horrible. I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
Broderick Jones seemingly going to finally make that move over to left tackle in what is the most important season of his young career. Do you think that change finally makes things click, or are you still kind of worried about his game?
I mean, yeah, he's the biggest question mark on the offensive line, but For all of Broderick's struggles, I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that since he was drafted, they've moved him around so much. You know, he spent the majority of his time at right tackle, but you know, going into seasons, okay, he's going to play right, he's going to play left, or you know, trying him out at both. So I think that does something to a player's mentality and you know, the muscle memory of it, where you know, this isn't Madden where you can just switch a guy from right to left tackle, his overall stays the same and it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's learning a whole new position. So I think going back to his, you know, original spot at left tackle, which they drafted him to be, I think that'll certainly help. And I think it's also going to help that, you know, you got Isaac Smolo next to him, got Zach Frazier in the middle. So you have a strong core there. And it took a little bit to rebuild that core, but, you know, you have guys up front that you can lean on. And so if he can be like what Dan Moore was and a little bit better, like on his best day, Dan Moore was a, you know, solid left tackle. On his worst days, it wasn't very good. But if he can just find some sort of balance and be a middle of the pack left tackle, then the offensive line, I think, will be largely fine, considering that he is the biggest wild card of the bunch. But if he can just be, like I said, a middle of the pack, just solid starter, then I think that that's, you know, a really good result for this year.
It feels like every single Steelers writer, every single person that covers the team, that the guy that they are most excited for out of this draft class is Caleb Johnson. Now, this time of year certainly helps out a running back, because the big guys, you know, how much can they do when it's football and shorts? But Johnson seems like somebody who is saying all of the correct things and acting the way of somebody who could absolutely be a starting running back, a 1,000-yard running back.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of marble, too. He's chiseled. He's built like a guy that you want to have be your bell cow. Yeah, and a lot of people pre-draft like made the comps to Najee Harris because like he didn't run the fastest 40. The home run ability to his game was pretty evident at Iowa, and I think that there is a little bit more explosiveness with him than there was with Najee. So I think, and you know, speaking of Nick Farwell, him and I talked about this recently, where he made a good point saying that the immediate start, you know, between the, you know, week one and week five, it might be a little bit hit and miss. But once the season gets going and he gets more comfortable, I think that's when we'll see him have those, you know, bigger gains on the ground, have, you know, maybe a few more 100-yard games, and just become more comfortable in the offense. It might take a little bit where there's going to be some growing pains, but once the season gets going and he gets more comfortable in an NFL backfield and gets more carries and just gets more acclimated with being an NFL running back, I think that the long-term future is going to be really good for him. Again, first month or so of the season might be a little bit chippy, and they might lean on Jaylen Warren a little bit more compared to what they will at the end of the year. But this is a guy that I think can be, you know, a really quality starter for them. And like you said, he's doing all the right things, and he fits the bill for what they want in the backfield. And the fact that they got him where they got him, I think, surprised a lot of people too. You know, he's a guy that I know I didn't expect to make it out of the second round, and the fact that they got him in round three, you know, it could end up being a big steal for them.
TJ Watt, another contract chat offseason with the Steelers where we don't know when it will be resolved. It could be right before that first game like it was the last time in 2021. How would you, Jarrett, if you were in charge of things, how would you handle TJ Watt? Would you give him the $40-plus million that he's looking for, or would you have looked for a trade partner before we got well into this offseason?
Yeah, and I want to preempt my answer with saying that, like, obviously TJ Watt's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a Ring of Honor member, one of the best Steelers of all time. It doesn't make sense for them to give him $40 million a year, because in the absolute prime of his career, they couldn't get the job done, and they're further away from doing that now that, and he's in his 30s. So, like, it just... And I'll say this too. It didn't make sense to me for the Raiders to pay Max Crosby, and it didn't make sense for me for the Browns to pay Myles Garrett. Not that those guys aren't tremendous, but where those teams are, I just don't know why you're giving up so much money when, for the Raiders, I understand they hired Pete Carroll and they, you know, got Geno Smith and they, you know, got a few more grown-ups in the building, but that's still a team who's several pieces away from a Super Bowl. I feel the exact same way about the Steelers, where I just don't see the value in paying a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is past his prime. He's coming off a year in which, going through the entire year, he had the fewest sacks of his career for playing a full season. So I think the best thing that they could do, both and for him too, is send him to a team, a contender, that'll give you good draft picks in return. You know, if he wants to go back to Wisconsin, call the Packers and say, hey, will you give us some good draft picks for TJ Watt? Green Bay's in a position where he would immediately make that team maybe the favorite in the NFC. So I think for me, it doesn't make sense for the Steelers to pay him. But if you're a team like Green Bay, if you're a team like Buffalo, if you're one of these contenders who is one piece away from potentially getting over the top, if you're a team like the Rams, any of these teams that are one piece away from cementing themselves as a real Super Bowl team that can win, it makes a lot more sense, in my opinion, to ship them away. And I know a lot of fans won't like that. But giving a guy $40 million because you want him to be a one-helmet guy because the fans like him, that's just not good business, and it's not going to help you long-term. So love TJ. He's going to be he's walking into the Hall of Fame, one of the best Steelers of all time. It doesn't make sense for the Steelers to pay him $40 million a year.
They should probably ask the Packers if they would make that call for one of the, half-dozen wide receivers they have, too, because, I mean, what – should their plan be behind DK Metcalf? This is a reason why, as much of a headache as George Pickens was, I really wasn't huge on that trade, because the fear that I had is unfortunately probably going to be what happens, that they just run it forward with what they have. 30-plus-year-old Robert Woods, Roman Wilson, who has proven nothing but he'll look good in training camp, and then Calvin Austin, who had a nice season, but he has a clear ceiling to his game.
I agree with you on a lot of the things that you just said. So let me rewind a little bit. In terms of the Pickens trade, I was the one who, I shouldn't say the one, but I was one of many who, as soon as they acquired Metcalf, they said, oh, they're trading Pickens. And I understand that where you're coming from, saying the behind-the-scenes stuff, you didn't really care too much about it. They clearly did, where it just became too much, and they're like, we're going to send him away. And if they weren't going to pay him anyway, it's good that they got something for him at least. There's no guarantee that they would have gotten like the highest possible comp pick, depending on how he played, what money he would have gotten. So I understand why they did what they did. In terms of the guys that they can bring in, I mean, there's not really a lot left, right? You know, if you want to trade for a guy, you know, the reports a few weeks ago saying that they called about Chris Olave, which would lead us to assume that they've called about other guys. Maybe Green Bay was one of those calls. You know, Romeo Doubs is a guy that would make sense to me. Green Bay has so many guys. So if it's not him, you know, it could be Dontayvion Wicks. Maybe it's Jaden Reed. Like, there's a lot of guys there that they could target. But yeah, free agency wise, it's Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore's now in Buffalo. I felt like that could have been a really good signing to put on the perimeter. He had 61 catches last year with the Browns. I felt like he could have done a lot worse than that. But obviously they didn't go that route. I do think that right now they're in a better spot than what they were a year ago, because we at least know Calvin Austin can play and be, you know, a quality third or fourth target in the offense. But you are right, there is a very clear ceiling to his game. And if I see like one more Twitter account, what, Roman Wilsonberg, tweet a video of him running routes against air and shorts talking about how he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, I'm going to bang my head into a wall because I'm already tired of seeing that. You're right, he has proven nothing. And until he does show something on the field, I'm not going to assume that he's just going to step in and be like a quality pass catcher. They need to go get somebody. We'll see who that person ends up being. I would like to think that they'll add at least one more body to this offense, but the way that management has been talking, they don't seem all that eager to do it. But then again, you know, when it comes to owners and GMs talking, a lot of that is, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. So we'll see. They definitely do need to add somebody. But like I said, I do think they are in a little bit better of a spot than they were last year. I think that Metcalf is an upgrade over Pickens. We know that Calvin Austin can at least do a little bit. Robert Woods is probably an upgrade over Van Jefferson too. So we'll see what they end up doing. Maybe they'll trade for Kyle Pitts. What do you think, Donnie?
they're going to add as many tight ends as possible, and I'm sure Kyle Pitts would be really excited to be paired with Arthur Smith again, too. Talking to Jarrett Bailey, NFL writer here on 93.7 The Fan, you might have mentioned his name here in the slew of wide receivers, but I also follow your stuff enough, Jarrett, to know that you are also a big fan of the Buffalo Bills. They had Amari Cooper there back half of last season, but he got put on the side of a milk carton. Why did he get lost in the shuffle there? And is he still somebody that could contribute to a team like Pittsburgh?
I think a lot of it was the offense and not going through one guy. The whole everybody eats mentality that Buffalo had last year, it was a real thing. But He just kind of, he was basically a decoy a lot of the time. Like anytime he's on the field, you got to account for him. And that opened up stuff for different guys like Khalil Shakir, the run game with James Cook, Mac Hollins, who led them in touchdown receptions last year. So I don't think that the lack of production was necessarily him falling off a cliff. He was also dealing with an injury. He missed some games as well. But if you go back and watch the Kansas City game in the regular season, he had two huge catches, one of which was like an over-the-shoulder sideline grab that showed that like, he can still track the ball. He's still got really good field awareness, and he's still good at making those catches downfield. So I think wherever he goes, he's going to be he getting older, obviously, but he's still a quality receiver who – in the right system can age gracefully into being like a number two or number two B in an offense. So, I mean, if he's the guy that they bring in, I'm all for it. I'm on board with it. It just depends on what they see in him. And if they want to go that route, they traded Pickens, who's more of a deep threat and somewhat redundant to DK Metcalf. Are they going to see Amari Cooper as being similar to that? We'll see, but I wouldn't be against him being the guy that they bring in.
A few NFL at-large questions here for you, Jarrett. My feeling right now is that I want to pick the Bills to either get to or win the Super Bowl. Now, that might be the kiss of death, but Josh Allen coming off an MVP season, how can he repeat that? And do you think they could finally get over that Patrick Mahomes playoff hump?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who has followed my work for any amount of time knows that I pray to my Lord and Savior, Joshua Patrick Allen, every night before bed. So that would be great to see him finally get one. And look, man, they've been close several times. The biggest thing for them has been the defense against Kansas City in the playoffs. They've played them four times in the postseason. The offense in those four games is averaging over 28 points a game, and they've lost all four. So it's pretty easy to find where the fault lies in Buffalo, and it's that the defense in the biggest moments comes up short. They've done a lot to address that this offseason, and they heavily drafted defensive linemen and edge rushers. They signed Joey Bosa, who they should probably put in a cryogenic chamber until wild card weekend just to make sure that he's available. So they've gone a long way to try to make their defense better. And if it can just be, it doesn't have to be a world beater. If they can just be a smidge better in the biggest playoff games, in the biggest games of the year, I think that Buffalo can get the job done. I think eventually they will, because Allen's just too good to finish his career without a ring, I think. But their biggest thing has been their defense against Kansas City in those big moments. And they've done a lot to try to fix that. So I would also like to pick them, but I've done it the last 2 years and it's bit me in the butt. So maybe I'll stray away a little bit from it and hope that by not doing it, they prove me wrong. But they're going to be in the hunt, man. As long as they have a healthy Josh Allen, they're going to be one of those teams that you got to circle and put in that Super Bowl bubble.
What team from last season that was a playoff team and maybe got deep into the playoffs do you think will take a couple of steps back this year and miss the playoffs entirely?
Oh, that's good. I want to say Denver, just because Broncos fans already love me so much for last year. I might say Denver, not to just dwell on Bo Nix too much, but I do think that there is something to say for having a year of tape on a guy and being able to, pinpoint some things that you can focus on. We saw it with Mac Jones. I don't think Bo Nix is going to fall off a cliff like Mac Jones. I think Sean Payton's too good of an offensive coach for that to happen, and their defense is going to be really good. But in that division where Kansas City's going to win it, the Chargers are still going to be good. The Raiders are going to be better. That's a tough division to play in. So I think, just playing in the AFC West, that's going to account for a good number of losses. And they're going to have a second-place schedule this year, I believe, or a third-place schedule. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to get back. And we see yearly at least four teams that were in the playoffs the year prior end up not being in the following year because four new playoff teams come in. So I can see them being one. I don't think Detroit's going to fall out of the playoffs, but, man, no Aaron Glenn, no Ben Johnson, now no Frank Ragnow. I think that there is an argument to be made that they are, a wild card team as the 6 or 7 seed because of all the things that they've lost. But that's still a roster full of talent, but also a roster that features a quarterback that has a ton to prove because, Jared Goff, for all of the, good numbers that he's put up over the last couple of years, he just had a goose egg against the Commanders in a game that they were heavily favored to win. And without that, you know, the offensive genius in his ear, how good is he going to be? We'll find out. But that's a team that I would also keep a very close eye on in the NFC.
Yeah, before you brought them up, I was thinking Detroit. And I hate to say that because everybody loves Dan Campbell. I mean, it's hard to not love the guy. But, I mean, you lose both coordinators who were fantastic for him. And, I mean, an all-pro center is now out of there. Like, I don't think I'll pick them to completely miss the postseason, but like you said, I think they definitely fall behind a team like Green Bay, for instance. But let's look at the flip side of this. Teams that missed the playoffs last year, maybe even teams that were downright bad, that get back into the playoffs in 25.
Yeah, I mean, I got the helmet right here hanging behind me. I think San Francisco will get back into the postseason. I wouldn't have paid Brock Purdy as much as they paid him, but look at their schedule, man. Like, it is an easy schedule. They're playing a last place schedule. You get a bunch of guys back from injuries, so I think that by just default, they're going to be better. There's some question marks still there, obviously. How good is Brandon Ayuk going to be? No Deebo Samuel anymore. Is Ricky Pearsall going to be able to take that step forward and be the guy that they need him to be after taking him in the first round last year? And defensively, no more Drake Greenlaw, no more Hufanga. No more Javon Hargrave. So, like, there's a bunch of new faces there. They also drafted defensive interior very heavy this offseason, and they bring back Robert Saleh, who, you know, may not have cut it as a NFL head coach, but is one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL, and I think that'll do a lot for that unit. So I think they'll get back into the postseason. Maybe win the NFC West. I think that schedule is going to do them a lot of favors. I still think the Rams are the best team in that division, but I think the 49ers have a very real chance to win that division just off their schedule alone. I'd like to talk myself into Jacksonville just because I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy, and the last time that he had a fully healthy season, they won the AFC South and very nearly beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Last 2 years, he's been banged up, and really things just kind of fell off a cliff with Doug Peterson. And, you know, having Liam Cohen come in, we saw what he did with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, had a 40 touchdown season last year. And I think with the weapons at hand, Brian Thomas, Travis Hunter now as well, a good running back in Tank Bigsby. We'll see if Travis Etienne is still there. And I think defensively, they got to be better by default as well. I mean, their secondary was really bad last year. They're going to be putting a lot of, you know, a lot of expectations in Jerry and Jones opposite of Tyson Campbell. They bring in Jordan Lewis at nickel. So I think they'll be better. And if Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy and that offense can get going, I wouldn't be too shocked to see them maybe win the AFC South or sneak in as the seventh seed.
Speaking of bad defense, is a historically bad one in Cincinnati. Any chance that the big three on offense can lug that team into the postseason, or is the defense just way, way too bad?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see what Al Golden at defensive coordinator looks like. I didn't love, you know, getting rid of Lou Anarumo. I know that he's not a perfect guy in terms of, you know, he didn't play a lot of their young talent, which drove a lot of Bengals fans insane. But in terms of defensive coordinators, I mean, we saw what he's done over the last half decade, especially against the Chiefs, which is, you know, one of the big reasons why that rivalry became what it was, is because the defense always played Kansas City pretty tight. But we're going to see, man. They were, I believe, 4-4 in games last year where they scored over 30 points, which is outrageous in terms of, like, if you score 30 points, you expect to win. And they were hovering around 500 when they did it. So you would think that those numbers would go a little bit more in favor of the offense and their record next year. They won 9 games a year ago with a really poor defense. It's going to come down to whoever bends the knee when it comes to these Trey Hendrickson negotiations, or lack thereof, I guess. If the Bengals just say, fine, we'll pay you, or if it carries into the regular season and he's not there, that's going to be kind of the biggest X factor for them. If Hendrickson's not there, what on that defense really scares you? I find it hard to find anybody who would keep opposing offensive coordinators up at night. Offensively, they're going to be awesome. We know that, but they have to be able to at least stop somebody a few times a game for their offense for that to mean anything and for them to win games.
Sneaky MVP pick for you.
Oh, sneaky MVP. I don't know. Maybe Michael Penix. I don't think that he'll do it, but I think he's going to have a fun year. Going back and watching the few games that he was in last year, to Commanders game in which he led the game-tying drive, the touchdown pass that he threw in just a pea of a window, played really well against Carolina. There is a little bit of inconsistencies with the accuracy and, you know, the arm getting a little bit away from him. But Penix is a guy that I'm kind of talking myself into. Atlanta, I would like to see them maybe take that step forward. Tampa Bay has been in control of that division for the last half decade or so. So that's something to watch. Drake May, I think, is another guy. We're talking about these second-year guys. I said that Drake May was going to be the best quarterback out of that bunch. Obviously, Jaden Daniels had a huge year last year. But Drake May
– Oh, we might be losing him here, Charlie. We might be losing him, and if that's the case, if he gets back on, just tell him we're all good, because we kept him for about 30 minutes here. I can't tell if he's still connected or not. So if he does reconnect, Charlie, just tell him thanks for hopping on. We got a couple of his sneaky MVP picks, but that was my last question to Jarrett Bailey from the Sporting News USA Today. He does work with Behind the Steel Curtain as well.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You hear that music and you know what it means. It is the Borges Hockey Roundup. Charlie Borges behind the glass with me. Donnie Chedrick with you until 10:35 tonight, walking you into the nightly sports call. Malzy will pinch hit for Pony tonight on the sports call. I don't know if it's Pomp or if it's Richie. Pomp on Mondays, Charlie. So I believe it'll be Malzy and Pomp at 10:35 simulcast on KDKA Plus. But Charlie, it's a biggie. The Stanley Cup Final is here. It will begin on Wednesday night. The Penguins have not agreed to terms with a new head coach. I even gave them a little bit more time than expected. There may be some other things you have up your sleeve. There's one anniversary that I will bring up later on in this hockey roundup, but it is your time to shine, pal. Hit it.
For the first time since the Pittsburgh Penguins and Detroit Red Wings in 2008 and 2009, we have a rematch in the Stanley Cup Final. The big bad bully Florida Panthers up against Connor McDavid, the best player in the sport, and the Edmonton Oilers. Now, Donnie, I think I've asked you this before, but when was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup?
Well, I know Vancouver. Yeah, it was Vancouver who didn't do it in, 2011 against Boston.
Correct.
Edmonton had a shot, in 06, but they did not do it.
Correct.
Or was it 07?
06 against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, the Hurricanes beat them. Cam Ward. I know 04, that was the... I thought the Lightning won that series.
They did.
They beat the Flames.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
That was a, you're on the right track.
Okay. Not 05, there was no season.
Correct.
I just feel like the Red Wings and the Devils just won a ton in the late 90s and into the 2000s.
95, 97, 98, 2000, 2002, 2003. 2008. Sorry, I just rattled those off the top of my head.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I don't think I know the answer.
The 1993 Montreal Canadiens. It has been since I have been alive.
Yeah, so I've never witnessed it.
You have never witnessed the Stanley Cup going over the border. I think it's finally time that Lord Stanley will go to the North, back where Wayne Gretzky won multiple, Mark Messier won one without Gretzky, and the Edmonton Oilers finally get it done, and Connor McDavid has a reason to stay in Edmonton with 1 year left on his contract after this year.
I hope it does. I'm rooting for it to happen. I think we had this same discussion probably this time last year, and people in Pittsburgh have been like afraid of McDavid winning a championship because they think it'll like hurt the legacy of Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby's going to be remembered as probably the best of his generation in the National Hockey League. I mean, it spans over into this now, but the guy has been playing for 20 years. I'm not worried about Connor McDavid winning a Stanley Cup because I want to see the best in the sport do it. And it is him, and it has been him for quite a few years now. I want to see the guy win it. I want to see him win, and I thought it was a good point last night when I was on the Final Word. Crowley was on there with me. Shelby Cassesi hosted, a very fine job by her. Rob Rossi was on there as well, and he said, we go back about 15 years when the best player in the sport of hockey got the second chance at the team that had just beaten him in the Stanley Cup final. We are going to see history repeat itself over the next couple of weeks. Sidney Crosby did this in 2009 after the heartbreak that was 2008. Connor McDavid going to do in 2025 what the heartbreak was in 2024. I'm going to pick the Oilers to win this thing.
I will also pick the Oilers, and I will pick them to win in 7 games. The Panthers won last year in 7 games, and correct me if I'm wrong, in 2008 when the Red Wings won, that was in 6?
That was 6.
And 2009 was 7. 2009 was 7. So I think this year they'll do it in 7. And Connor McDavid, there was a feeling of, not euphoria, but of like happiness when Alex Ovechkin finally got his in 2018. And I know Penguins fans are going to have a different
point of view. I was happy to see that too, for the record. I mean, I know that I've said it before. I'll say it 100 times again. Like, I don't have like the diehard like hate in my body for like rivals in hockey the way I might in other sports. And I mean, those have really faded over the years too, as I've gotten more and more into what we do, where I don't just automatically hate a guy because he's on a rival team. I mean, I went through the AFC North thing earlier, and I was very leaning on the side of the Baltimore Ravens, who are looked at as the Steelers' biggest rival in 2025. But besides that point, I was happy when Ovechkin won his. Because, again, I want to see the best guys in the sport win. I don't want to see Dan Marino's, and I don't want to see Barry Bonds'. Those guys should be champions. I don't want to be thinking back years from now like, man, McDavid, the guy couldn't win the big one. He wasn't very good. The dude is spectacular.
Yep. It's kind of like Joe Thornton. Never won the big one. Henrik Lundqvist. He's a Ranger. I hate him because he's a Ranger. Top 5 goalie of all time. Top 10, definitely. Never won the big one. There are more players like that in hockey and than there are in other sports, in my opinion. That have been
notable guys that never won,
so good that have never won one.
I think McDavid's time is here. I think it's going to finally happen. And if you recall, weeks ago they lost their first 2 games in the series against the Kings. Charlie,
you were paying attention.
And I think I don't think I said it on air, but I told you off air. I said they're going to win the next four. They're going to kind of just cruise through these next four. They're going to win that series in six and get on a little bit of a roll. And here they are, baby. I should have bet on them. I never end up doing that because you know why? I convinced myself if I actually did make the wager, that team would not win.
You talk yourself out of the bet.
Yes.
Which happens. There are a few players. I don't know if you're aware of this tradition, but when a team wins the Stanley Cup, normally the guy who's been waiting the longest will get the first pass from the cup. Because the hockey yes. and the NHL does it right. The players are the first people to touch the dang trophy. The NFL, it's the owner. NBA, it's the owner. Major League Baseball, I believe it's the owner. Or it's the manager or the general manager. But the NHL, the captain, right there, front and center, gets the cup, passes it right off to the next guy. I'm hoping for Adam Henrique. You probably have no idea who that is.
I know that name. I didn't know that guy was still playing.
Yeah, he plays for the Oilers. Or, you know what? Corey Perry. Fifth Stanley Cup final Man. In 6 years with three different teams. He was on the Oilers last year. He was on the Stars when they were in the bubble.
Was he not on the Ducks team that won?
He was.
In like 07?
Yes. That would have been his second year.
Like Pronger was on that team.
Scott Niedermeyer.
That always makes me think of Animal House, but yes. Yep. Like I remember
and
Scott
Rob Niedermeyer. His younger brother.
All because of Animal House.
Yep.
So Perry was on that team.
Yeah. He would have been like a 21, 22-year-old kid. Now he's, I think, 40. Still going. So I want him to get one more, even though his nickname is The Worm, and he does some shady things on the ice. Players like that, you need to get the job done.
Well, they allegedly did something a little bit shady with a teammate's mom off the ice, didn't he?
That was not confirmed, nor it was denied a lot, but it was never confirmed. So there's that. What's this anniversary? And then I have one more.
Yeah. So speaking of the Stanley Cup final on this day in 2008, this gets put out there every year, but it is one of my favorite Penguin games to watch. And it came in the Stanley Cup final series when they lost in six games. But it was game five against Detroit, one that went to three overtimes. The Penguins kept their season alive.
Peter Sikora.
Late in the third, or else Detroit was going to celebrate on home ice and win the series in five games. People would have looked back and said, oh, they made pretty easy work of Sidney Crosby and the two three-headed monster that the Penguins had at the time. Peter Sikora in three overtimes, baby. Wins it 4-3.
What a career he had. Started off with the Devils. Then he went to the Ducks in a trade that, to this day, still surprises me that the Devils made. And then he just bounced around. I think he was with the Oilers for a minute. He was with the Penguins. I think he was with the Wild at one point. He was a Ranger. And then he ended with the Devils again. He came into camp on a PTO in 2012. And they turned back the clock. I think he had like a 40 or 50-point year as a PTO guy.
I'll tell you a guy I hated from those series, Chris Osgood. They finally cracked him in the second, like in the rematch in 2009.
Uh-huh.
But it was so frustrating watching those games in 08.
Now, was it his style of play and him stopping all the pucks, or was it stupid cage bubble helmet that he had?
Yeah, that was part of it. I couldn't stand the helmet that he wore.
But Dominic Hasek were the two prominent ones that wore the bubble, along with Artis Erbe as well. That's a throwback name too.
They finally cracked the guy in 2009, and the game for me where it actually felt like the Pens could win that series was that game four that was here. That was the Kennedy tic-tac-toe goal that we joke about with Crowley. That was the point where they won that game, and it actually felt like a lot different than 08. that they actually belonged and they were poised enough to actually win the series. 08 was a bunch of young dudes against a team that resembled the Red Army. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that Red Wings team was just
Zetterberg.
So veteran-filled. Johan Franzen on that team.
Yeah, the Mule.
Lindstrom.
Yeah. And the scary part is their 2002 team was even better. And they won the Stanley Cup. That was the year where they had like 8 Hall of Famers and everyone's like, "Yeah, just give it to them." And Scotty Bowman was still the head coach. No. Yeah, Bowman was still the head coach. He was the head coach in 2002. It was Mike Babcock in 2008 and 2009.
That's why I think that the 09 Cup, maybe because the first one I got to witness as a fan wasn't around in the early 90s. But as cool as it was seeing the first one that the Penguins won in my lifetime, I just think the satisfaction of them getting a shot at Detroit and actually making it count made it all the sweeter. And they also rolled to that final because they started the Hurricanes Eastern Conference final streak.
Yeah.
They swept them right out of there in 09.
So I'm looking at the 2002 Red Wings roster. Brandon Shanahan, Hall of Famer. Sergei Fedorov, Hall of Famer. Brett Hull, Hall of Famer. Nick Lidstrom, Luke Robitaille, Steve Yzerman, Igor Larionov, Chris Chelios, Pavel Datsyuk. All Hall of Famers. And then you have like the depth guys like Chris Draper, who was traded for $1 at one point in his career. One of my favorite stories. Literally,
traded for $1?
He was traded for like future considerations. And the team, I forget what team gave him up. The owner said, "Just give me a dollar." Or the general manager said, "Give me a dollar." For Chris Draper, and he ended up winning multiple cups. Oh, and Dominic Kashuk as well. Hall of Famer. One more thing for this debrief. Not debrief. Wow. I see you when I think of the football debrief. We could see a lot of activity this week in the National Hockey League because the NHL Draft Combine in Buffalo takes place. And this is going to be the only time where all the general managers get together in one spot. Because this year, the NHL is not doing the draft at a specific location where everybody will be. Normally you have every team at a specific table and you'll always see the tweets like, mm-hmm. Oh, Kyle Dubas is at the Red Wings table talking to whoever their GM is. That's not happening this year. They're taking it as if they're every other sport and every team is going to have their war room back in their office. So we could see a lot of activity. And apparently Elliot Friedman said today on the Kuiper podcast, which is a Canadian one, that this may be the one and only year that the NHL does it because it may be a colossal failure. And everybody will think, why didn't we just keep it the way it was? So we may go back to everybody being in one place next year. So it's going to be interesting to see how the lack of being next to somebody affects how many trades there actually will be.
NHL and colossal failure, Charlie.
It's Gary Bettman's middle name.
I don't know. I guess you can applaud a new idea, maybe.
Yeah, but the NHL's new ideas were new ideas 5 years ago. Like, they had a whole...
Yeah.
Like,
or like 15 plus when you think of the Winter Classic, because that just doesn't even feel like a big deal anymore when they do those.
What's the, not the Bitcoin, but like the picture.
What, Doge?
The NPTs? Not NPTs.
Oh, I know, yeah.
That thing? But that was like the craze 3 years. NFTs. They were the craze 3 years ago. Earlier this year, the NHL. Yeah, we'll be releasing limited time NFTs. And everyone's like, you should have done this 3 years ago, Gary. You can't judge anything that I do because everything I do is perfect. And anything that you say that I do wrong, I will just come back at you and tell you to stop it.
Very good roundup, Charlie.
Well, thank you for giving me the spotlight, Mr. Chedrick.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.